Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me this week, but not last week, so I couldn't say as always, but I suppose now and forever, never leave me alone again, it's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
Oh, I'm doing good. I get to debut the chair on the show.
You do. What a chair.
This chair is going to be debuted on the interview podcast three weeks from now.
Time machines. That's how we do.
There's a small story with regard to this chair that I want to share really briefly.
Oh yes, I did. I do want to hear this story.
It's a moral quandary of this chair. Should I be an asshole or should I be a not asshole? So I got it from Staples, not far from where I live, a few blocks away, and they promised a same day delivery around 7 o'clock. Okay. I'm like, cool, I'll be home. I'm not going nowhere. I don't have a life outside this house. Bring it on over. So 7:30 rolls around. I'm like, hey, Staples, just saying, is a chair on the way here? Should I, you know, go to bed? Like, what's going on?
7:30, what do you...
And the guy's like, oh, they shouldn't have promised you that. This, you know, it's always a thing with my employees. They keep promising these deliveries, and it's always at least a day.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay. So he's like, listen, we're gonna give you the shipping for free and you'll get it tomorrow. I'm like, okay, listen, I'm in no rush. I just like new shit in the house.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas. It's like new shit. Open it, smell it, love it, rub on it. Cool. Yeah. So an hour later, the chair arrives. I'm like, sweet. Same day, it's here. I should call back and like maybe listen, the chair is here. I'll pay for the shipping. I'm cool with it. Mm-hmm. Totally fine. So, you know, the day goes by. Now we're in the next day. The chair's here. I'm all comfy. I got house shit going on. Some personal shit going on. Family shit going on.
Sure. Yes.
Later in the day, the next day, another chair arrives.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, I'm good. I'm totally fine. You can take this back. I don't need this. I have it.
Right.
Now, in this kerfuffle, I notice a return on my credit card for the dollar amount of the chair.
Interesting. Yeah.
So this chair, this, and the brand is Emerge.
Emerge.
Which is the name of the LGBTQ group at my work, by the way. It's kind of funny. I didn't realize that. And I'm like, oh. So I have this chair for your charge, but you know, I don't want to be like a douche. It's like, I have the chair.
Since when? Since when do you not want to be the douche in this situation, Andy?
I have this chair. I'm just a guy with two thumbs and a free chair, Steven. That's all I'm going to say. So, I don't know. It's been a week. I think the time has passed. So the chair is mine now, right. And I'm just going to take it. Life threw me a free chair. And I'm making a show with it. So that's what I'm going to do.
That's very good.
Just the way it is.
That's very good. I did a thing this week.
You did a thing. I like when you do things.
We are fully vaccinated, ladies and gentlemen.
The whole family?
My wife needs
the
one more.
The whole Fontana squadron?
My wife needs one more, but I am done.
Entire clan?
I am done. The adults, my parental units, done. My brother's done. Sister-in-law's done. Everybody's done. We're going to get together for
like
Easter.
Done up until even round two or just round?
No, they're good.
All the rounds
are
good.
My wife is the only one that did not get round two yet, which I think she's getting next week.
Black sheep.
But yeah, we're good. We did it. We got it and we're good. Also, I bought Pokemon cards because a new card store.
You did. You did. I noticed that in the pre-show.
No. I'm talking about brand new cards.
A lot can happen in a week. I got a
bunch of cool Pokemon, and I opened them on my stream yesterday, which I'm gonna clip that out and I'm gonna cut it all up and make a YouTube video out of it. But it was a lot of fun. I had a good time. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast, the internet's number one gaming news show starring people you've never heard of, probably. The show posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure, and if I could actually remember to edit the video, it'll go up on YouTube the following day, or you know, 2 days ago. So sorry about that, folks. For our YouTube, not that any of you are watching this on YouTube anyway.
We're professional. We promise.
We do the thing. We sure do. We sure do. And of course, you can find that YouTube channel, youtube.com/DualScreensTV. We have a ton of content up on this website right now, and we actually have new stuff coming up. We have some reviews that are going to be edited and put up very soon. We got a new reviews editor that just joined the team, is going to be writing some stuff. Taylor's working on a new game review. We're going to have a lot of stuff for you, so go up there. We also have Dual Screens and Dragons, which just posted its fourth episode. The fifth episode will be up this Saturday. If you want to get any early access content or bonus content, please go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. Just like our Patreon producers, Vegas Girl on Fire, FNH Paul, and Colton the Apprentice, Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So please, please head over there. Head over there. Go over to the Patreon. Just go over there.
It's like the holy trinity of producers.
That's right. Right there. $1. $1. Listen, $1 gets you into our VIP Discord where we hang out all day and just chat about video games and yell at Buzz about his stupid opinions.
We do. It's a lot of fun. So much
it gets
fun.
You a bonus episode every month. It gets you an AMA thread that you could ask us questions that we answer exclusively for our YouTube channel. The answers will be public. It'll be a public video, but it's all the content's based on what you ask us. So you got to get in there and ask us questions. So far we have it precisely zero. So get in there and give us questions, because we're going to do that once a month. Then for $3, guys, you get all sorts of stuff. You get early access. You get bonus shows. We have extra shows. We have the pre-show for this show where Andy and I and Taylor, if he's here, bullshit for like 15 minutes about nonsense. It's great. You can't go wrong. But anyway, I digress. It is now time to jump into head first like this. The adventures in gaming. Andy, what have you been playing?
No, you go first.
I go first. Okay.
Because yours won't be as fun as mine.
Okay. Well, let's see.
No, you go first, because you're playing normie shit. I don't play normie shit. I guarantee you're playing normie shit.
Listen, we will see just how normal a scenario my game playing is. Okay. Because Andy, who did I play games with? Do you know who I played games with?
Who are you playing games with, Steven?
Do you know who I played games with?
Who you played games with,
this
Steven?
Weekend, right before I got my second COVID shot? Do you know who I played games with?
Who did you play games with?
I want
with?
You to guess who I played games with.
I don't know. It's so many people. It could possibly be.
I'll tell you who it was.
I really can't tell you.
I'll tell you
was
who
it was. Was it Lil Nas?
No, it wasn't.
Was I playing games with?
It wasn't Lil Nas. It should have been, but it wasn't. It wasn't.
See, I don't care anymore. Is it interesting? Is my next question.
It was Buzz Killington.
Oh my God! Okay. You subjected yourself to playing with Buzz?
Not only that, Andy, but we played It Takes Two, a co-op platforming adventure game that I can only describe as phenomenal.
Yes, I've heard
the game
amazing things
is
about this game.
Just wonderful, and I cannot wait to continue playing it. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to play it a second night, but I'm definitely going to this week. This game is basically Ratchet and Clank co-op. That's how this game feels like. But it's so clever in the way it makes you solve puzzles together. It's also, it changes up the gameplay so frequently that it is just so much fun that you play. So this, I don't know if you know the story, but basically the story is these two,
isn't it like siblings, magic dolls?
No, so there's this little girl who there's this little girl who made dolls of her mom and dad, and her mom and dad are always fighting, and then finally they announce to her that they're going to get a divorce, and she goes into a secret
spot, it's the Parent Trap,
and she wishes that they would become friends and the parents wake up as the dolls, and they're going through all of the problems they had in their relationship. Like you fight problems that they had that they blamed each other for. For example, there was a item that the mom, who's an engineer, was supposed to fix in the house, but they wound up just putting it away and spending an exorbitant amount of money on the new thing to replace it. And so he's like, well, if you just, you know, whatever. And now the thing is trying to kill them because they're tiny and it's like, it's, you know, a monster now. So the thing is like, you put me here to rot and die. And so it tries to kill you. And you're like, it's a crazy fun boss fight. There's militant squirrels. It's honestly, like, words don't do this game justice, but I had nothing but a smile on my face the entire time I was playing this game. It is an absolute blast. They also sneak in these mini games that you can play too. They're called like relationship challenges or something like that, but they're basically just these tiny little mini games that the two of you play together, and it's hysterical. Like there was one that was a tug of war. There was whack-a-mole where one person is choosing which hole to come up and the other person's trying to hammer them down. Just really fun stuff. I just had so much fun playing this game. I highly recommend you and your brother play this game together.
Well, I was telling Ken, watch a video so I can buy it, because I want to play it with someone. I was like, can you please just watch a video so you think it's cute and you like it, and I can just press the purchase button.
It's so it's an EA game, and I think if you have EA Play, it's basically, you know, free. So if you have EA Play, I don't know if it's on.
What if I get my EA Play?
Oh, and you only need one, and you only need one copy. That's the other thing. If you want to play online, you only need one copy. The other person only needs the to download the free friend trial or friend demo thing, and then you can play the whole game with the friend that has the game. So it's pretty cool. It's EA Play Pro. It's free. So yeah, if you get EA Play Pro, it's a free game.
I'd rather give EA money as I'll buy a game of theirs. I'm not going to pay for their services.
Okay. What are you playing?
I can't get track of that. Oh my God, Steven. So do you see the shirt I'm wearing right now?
Yes.
See that shirt.
That is the Nightmare on the 13th Street.
No, I'm going to smack Returns. You in La Facha of the Halloween, on Halloween night.
On Halloween.
The Halloween Chainsaw Massacre, Child's Play, Krueger. So one of my favorite games on the NES is Friday the 13th. It gets a lot of grief from people. It's got a lot of flaws.
It has a lot of fake length.
It has good bones. Like, there's a good foundation for a really good game.
Okay.
But, you know, you got the Jason alarm. You got, there's a lot of bullshit that bogs it down. Some guy took all the game's assets and made a game that makes sense.
Okay.
He made, like, the map of Crystal Lake, and each cabin's a stage that you get items from. Okay. Jason can come out of nowhere. He can kill you. He kills other counselors. It's only one player playing as the entire game. One counselor.
Okay.
And I was so obsessed, and I had to draw notes.
Notes, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. Notes.
I had to draw shit. Like, I had to draw a cabin and, like, say where the one-ups were and the lives and shit. And it was like I was a kid again, because I don't do the. Who does this shit anymore? One does this.
You got to get that Prima guide, you know?
Yeah. And this guy, I found out, does it for like so many other games. Castlevania 2, Rigor, like all the NES games that had like some sort of broken shit that made them like they could have been really good, but they were held back by just really dumb design decisions and choices.
Jaws,
yeah.
Back to the Future. Any LJN game.
Yeah, I'll get there eventually. But yeah, a lot of fun. It's called Friday the 13th Revisited, and it's so much fun. It costs $15.
Ooh.
Not sure how he does that.
Yeah, that's
without getting some sort of lawsuit.
maybe the game's code is open source or something.
He has an opening scene pulled from the fourth movie.
Oh.
He has a clip from a movie as the opening credits. And I'm like, you're charging people for this? No one has stopped you?
I don't think that's allowed.
I should like.
Maybe he licensed. Who knows?
Get in that action. I don't think so.
Well, anything's possible. Anything's possible.
So there's that. Playing some of that. I'm still playing Bravely too. I'm like 50 hours in. I'm at an annoying boss. I'm in some kind of dream world sequence. But that should be done, I hope, in a week or so. And yeah, that's what I've been playing. Do you want some Indian news?
I sure as fuck do. Give me some indie news.
This is like tailored for you, by the way.
Well, Is it
not for Taylor, but tailored for you. Here's the headline, Steven. Scourgebringer, which is an amazing game, by the way. It's on Game Pass. You should totally play it. Scourgebringer will be the last game to release digitally on the PS Vita.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. It's like almost hype.
Wow. Yeah. Scourgebringer.
And okay. Only there for 128 days before it goes away, before the store shuts down.
Oh, man. So limited run games has to like figure out where these Vita carts are manufactured and just start buying them shits up right now.
Right.
Because the Vita, like, I mean,
I feel so bad for the Vita, by the way.
It's a beautiful piece of hardware.
I really did love my Vita so much. I wish there was more for it because like I really wanted to have it like my go-to handheld, but the software just wasn't there.
Yeah.
It really wasn't.
It became an indie port machine, which is ironic because that's what we loved the Switch for. But the
Switch has the first party to like keep you busy
stuff. Yeah,
exactly. While the 80 indie games a week get ported to it.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah.
Sad panda. It makes me very sad.
All right, news.
Let's get in. Let's get into the indie news report. And you know what, Andy? This is your news show.
I thought this was your new show. We just did the indie news.
I mean, let's get into the dual screens report. Sorry, the dual screens report. This is your show. I want you to take it over. You're going to take me on the news ride.
This is what happens when I don't do a show for a week.
News ride.
I get all the work in the subsequent week. All right. Here we go. Headline. Shitty game gets shittier. Marvel's Avengers MCU outfits will be available via Marketplace. Previously stated as in-game rewards. So the shit that could have been free, you now got to pay for it.
Timeout. Somebody who has actually played this game, I thought everything that you could unlock in this game, including the stuff in the store, is attainable by playing the game and getting the premium currency from playing the game. Can somebody?
No.
I are you sure?
Well, if that was the case, the exception is now these outfits. Because as per the Marvel Avengers official Twitter handle, to clarify, after they were like, woohoo, outfits in the movies. To clarify, the outfits inspired by the Marvel Cinematic Universe will be available exclusively in the marketplace for purchase with credits. And
with credits. How do you earn credits?
With the whole cashiola. Well, with money, with cheddar cheese. So you can't earn this with in-game currency. You have to buy it with your hard-earned cash. And it's stupid. And why a game that has so much stuff already wrong with it? It launched a buggy, broken mess, a hollow shell of a game. And now it's, we have to pay for things that might make it cooler while I'm playing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfortunate, Steven. These are just really bad.
Okay,
bad
here we go.
Practices.
Here we go.
Yes. Go ahead.
All the other heroes will be added later on and will not come with their cards. Instead, players will need to use in-game currency called credits to purchase these items to unlock challenges for new characters. Credits aren't extremely easy to acquire, so it's a guide. The easiest way to get credits in the game is to just purchase them outright. It's not ideal. The upside, blah, blah, blah. For example, if players are willing to spend $100 for 10,000 credits, they will earn an additional 3,000, whatever. Players who don't want to spend any more of their actual money on the game have another method at their disposal. By completing challenge card tiers on the first six heroes, players will actually be able to earn credits in the game. If players manage to complete as many challenges as possible, they can easily rank up enough to get enough credits to purchase a brand new pass for the next character. So you should be able to, unless you're going to buy everything, it might be additional credits, you know, right now, I think they have enough where if you do all six, you get enough credits to get the next character. And if you finish that, you get the next, you know, the next character. So maybe this is like in addition to like, you have to do one or the other or spend a couple of bucks. Maybe that's what it do. Maybe that's what it do.
Right, but the idea was these are going to be in-game rewards that if you played, I guess, certain missions or certain parts of the game, it's like, here, now you've unlocked these outfits. But now it's like, go the grindy route.
Why does anybody believe anything any game company says? Like, I thought we were past this. I feel like I've learned my lesson here. Like,
I also like being lied to in my face.
It's like when it's, this is exactly what it's like for me. I take the same approach as when I hear from upstairs, daddy. And I go, okay. What? And then she comes down the stairs and she goes,
Jack,
cracked my head open. And you go, no, he didn't.
Steven.
Then you go, did he? Oh, he cracked your head. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's how I look at this. It's like, oh, we're going to get costumes for free. Really? That's really cool. Thank you for that. No, we're fucking not. Don't stop it. No, we're not. Like, yeah, your head's cracked. You're right. Yeah, let me give you a Band-Aid for your cracked head.
Why don't you tell that to Penny? No, you're not, you fucking baby. Your head's not cracked. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, no, you're not. You're in the business to make money. You're not, like, we're not stupid. You spent a ridiculous amount of money on this license, and you're going to tell us that you're not going to try and milk this teat for everything it's worth. No, we're not dumb.
Well, especially when this division lost so much money for Square Enix with this game. It's like, wasn't that thing that was going to be maybe easy to get? We're going to backpedal and charge for it because we got to make your losses up somewhere. So that's what we're going to do.
They've certainly figured it out.
Speaking of people lying to you.
Oh, boy.
And promises.
I know where this is going. Promises, I'm cracking open a new drink for this one.
Promises that were made and promises that were not kept and more than likely shat upon. After Cyberpunk 2077, CD Projekt promises better marketing.
Yeah.
I love how this is the headline. This game was like the second coming of the Jesus. For so many people.
For 10 years, yeah. Well, 8
for
years.
So many, yeah. And it was like, CD Projekt is like the holy grail of developers, and they can't do no wrong. They give us so much free shit, and their games are amazing. Just
game,
fucking Witcher.
Their game
and just fucking Witcher. And Witcher now it's like...
Specifically.
Yeah, and now it's like, we're going to promise not to blow smoke up your asses for the next time we do this.
No!
If you're still around.
That's not even like what the promise really is. It's their promise is like, oh, at least we're not going to talk about a game eight years away. Sorry.
Right. Right.
Like, you know, like...
Doesn't matter, though. That wouldn't have helped.
If okay,
that wouldn't help this game be any less of a train wreck.
If The Witcher 3, okay, if The Witcher 3 had this hype train behind it, but no, nobody, if reviewers didn't get codes ahead of time and we didn't know what The Witcher 3 was, right? Because when The Witcher 3 came out, it was being praised by critics. Mm-hmm. The Witcher, if it was like from the studio that brought you The Witcher 1 and The Witcher 2
and
like,
The Witcher 3 and Gwent.
Okay, great. Yeah, Witcher 3. Woohoo. Another one of those. Because that's exactly what I thought until the reviews came out and they were like, no, they fucking did it. They did it. They actually made an incredible action RPG that's not janky as hell and like functions and doesn't and all this stuff. And you're like, oh, crap. And they gave you a bunch of free stuff. DLC and you know, cosmetics and yada yada.
And it has like really good side quests and a good story. I mean, it's beautiful. World building and shit. But, yeah.
But
it's got great horse mechanics.
I played The Witcher 1. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was it was a good story. It was dark, very brooding, interesting, but broken mediocre. As shit. Yes. It was a mediocre. It was no better
like
than
listen.
If The Witcher 3 didn't happen, THQ Nordic would have bought CD Projekt.
Of all the ochres, it was the meatiest. Okay?
Right.
That's all I'm going to say.
That is true. Now, Cyberpunk just suffered from the fact that it was announced when somebody was graduating eighth grade and came out when they graduated college. Mm-hmm. That was the problem with Cyberpunk. And every single year that kid made it to the next grade or had to go to summer school, they got a new trailer or a new bit of information or a new... texture that isn't in the game because the game can't, you know, the system can't run it.
It can't render the textures.
It can't render it. Yeah. they're running it on a fucking Xbox 9000. And like, they still, I'm still convinced that whatever computer that they built this game on, it isn't for mass consumption yet. Like
no.
They are using dual 3090s like to make that game run.
Didn't the update like break some of the game?
I am sure it always does.
I saw this whole list on like the PS5 Reddit. It was like, got the update. Here's what's broken now. because of this update. I'm like, how do you keep getting this wrong?
I mean, you know, you and I both know from how many interviews we've done with devs, like it's hard. Bug crunching is hard. Like
we're talking about
you fix something, you break something. It's almost always what happens.
But they don't have $1 million to back them. You don't have a country saying we're going to fund this partially because you are our economy in a lot of ways.
Right. No, that's exactly right. But you know, we do have to keep in context that this is not EA, this is not Activision, you know.
Like I totally forgot that this game is still not on the PSN store.
Oh yeah.
It's been like over 100 days. It's been like poof, gone.
I had the itch to go back to it, believe it or not. But I just couldn't deal with quest progress going away.
Yeah, like I mean
that's the biggest thing for me. Like Skyrim dying on my PS3 because I opened too many doors or too many chests and had too many wheels of cheese. that was like the last straw for me. And I never bought another Bethesda game on PS3. And it wasn't until Fallout 4, I just did not like at all. Like I played it. I was like, I don't like this game at all. So I just stayed away from them for the most part. And like Cyberpunk reminds me so much of those kinds of games where it's like, being in the zeitgeist is more important than actually liking the game.
Right.
It takes a lot to admit that something you were really hyped for and a lot of people are really hyped for sucks, or that or not that it sucks, but that you don't like it. And there was so much to like about Cyberpunk, but so much of it just didn't work. And that was poop.
Yeah, it's also one of those things where as you're watching like that slow drip across 10 years of, you know, little stories, you're like, okay, here's our world, here's Night City, here's our vision, here's what you can do this, you can do that. And it's like, and like with each one, you're like, wow, this sounds like kind of an amazing experience.
Right.
And it's built up to this beast. And then how do you deliver on that without it becoming a pile of ass at the end of the day?
Unfortunately, they said that it was coming out for PS4 and Xbox One. That was their biggest mistake. They should have never said where this was coming out until it was like, until they knew it could run on anything.
Do you think we'll get the next gen updates this year for this game?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
And will they also be ass?
No.
No.
I think you're going to get as close to the PC port with all of these 1.1, 1.2. I think they're going to get up to 2.0, and then the 2.0 will be the next gen release, and then everything will be up to par. There'll be some sort of benchmark.
It's just fun seeing how people want this to be like another No Man's Sky story. Like I don't see that happening with this game anytime soon. No Man's Sky, at least when they launched, had something to sell to people, and people loved it. Some didn't like it, but it found a huge audience. And then they were like, okay, how can we make this better? How can we deliver on the things we could have done in this universe? And it was just, they were pounding away update after update, and it became like this amazing experience. But I don't see that happening with
all CDPR needs to do is create a very public, very realistic, small steps at a time content roadmap. Not we have a DLC planned in 6 months that's going to complete the doors off the thing. Give people a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, but have it work and have it come out the right way. And then so that when people who stuck with the game, played through it, will have something to go back to when 2.0 releases and the next gen releases, and maybe they think about double dipping or they upgrade or whatever, and they go back into it to do all the shit that was added. That's how I did The Witcher 3. Like The Witcher 3 had all those DLCs and all those extra stuff, the blood and wine, the whatever. But the game had so much content to begin with. I just played the content that I had. And then when I finished it, I was like, I could revisit this because there's a ton of shit that I didn't do. That's where they could do the No Man's Sky thing, but it's not a game of service. So it's not an MMO or game of service. So
right.
It doesn't really need to.
And I feel like I should play it now and it's within its broken state just for the memes. But I think the time has passed. Like, wait, are there still like asses showing when you're in a fix yet? I need to know. Because I'll buy it right now if that's still a thing in the game.
I mean, I honestly don't know. I want to be able to. I want to be able to play it and a mission not break every time I play it. Like. Mm-hmm. I played it six times. That was it. I loaded the game and sat down to play it six times. Mm-hmm. And that sixth time I had a glitched mission that I couldn't finish. And it was the dumbest thing. It was just an NPC that needed I needed to be able to speak to them. And the prompt would not show up. And it would not show up. And I'm looking to the thing and it just would not show up. And then I reloaded and it won't show up. I went back a bit. And the same thing happened. My phone screen was stuck on the screen for a while. It just sucked. Mm-hmm. But all right, what's next on the news? You got more news?
You know, you gave it an honest shot.
Yeah,
here's a game that people should be giving a real honest shot. It should get more love than it deserves, and that's Dreams. Dreams is getting, according to Media Molecule, a lot more support from Sony.
Oh,
okay. Here's the quote. Sony is really behind what we're doing. And it seems that Sony, here's the full quote. We're on a big recruitment drive right now because to make the progress we want, we need programmers and we need designers. Mm-hmm. What really excites me about all this is Sony is really behind what we're doing and are investing in the studio to grow. Which, you know what? I'm a little shocked by this. Because Dreams wasn't this like huge breakout hit for Sony. It was more like that word of mouth thing where somebody made a thing in Dreams and then they put it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then it got a little bit of, you know, went viral for a little bit and then more shit came out. It wasn't like this smash, it sold a bajillion copies in 1 week for right. Sony. And this was also like a huge 10-year plan for this team too. And to see them getting this support from Sony.
I cringe every going time I into hear the PS4. Support, but yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a long cycle for Media Molecule to make this game. And it just shows you that it's not all about the dollars and cents sometimes. I mean, for the most part, it is for the Sony or Nintendo or the Microsoft. It's like, how profitable are you? We're just a Japan studio. Got like semi-gutted in a reorg because they weren't quite pulling their weight in the last 10 or so years since the PS2 days for Sony. So seeing this is refreshing that it's a team that's been with them for a long time. They gave us Sackboy and now gave us Dreams. And it could have been like a one and done. Like, okay, you did this game. It's great. It's getting support from the users. They're loving it and making weird shit with it. Great. But the investment on Sony's part really makes me happy. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the biggest thing that I think the biggest difference here is that, you know, Japan Studio or like those old groups, the games that they made were not necessarily critical successes either. Like Media Molecule, with the exception of maybe They did Tearaway, right? Like maybe Tearaway? I think that was
They do a lot of shit and a lot of support for other games too.
Yeah. But they made something that is spectacular. Like what you can do in Dreams, it's not for me, it's not something I'm very good at. It's spectacular. It really is a spectacular piece of art this engine that they were able to make. Mm-hmm. And I think it not selling is not necessarily on them. I think Sony needs to market this game better. Mm-hmm. Sony needs to get this into students' hands. Mm-hmm. Sony needs to make this a platform, not a game. Stop talking about it like it's a game. Talk about it like it's a platform. Charge people for a different experience. Perhaps here's just a idea. Charge people to play the game, to play the games, and make content creation free. If you create content, for example, if you publish something that other people can play, you can also play other people's creations. For example, you can also make it free for PS Plus subscribers anytime to be creators. give people an incentive to create in that game. And treat it like a game for people who don't know how or afraid to create, because you can get them into that side of things. And remember, this game is going to get, this system, this program, this engine will get better with more hands on the clay. So if you and I get in there and we start playing the levels and we could start seeing how the pieces are put together, and then we go, huh, well, the creator suite is free. I'm going to download that now. And it's a separate program, but it just uploads to the game, to Dreams, right? I think that would be a really cool thing for them to do. They could say the Dream Creator Suite and Dreams, you know, collection, the Dreams collection. And it's all the, everything that's created, all the complete projects that are created in Dreams, go up in that game. So it's always, there's always new games to play. If you're just a gamer and you just want to try weird shit, it's basically like going on itch.io and being just popping shrooms and going on itch.io. Like that's what that, that's what Dreams is sometimes.
So good though. That's like how you spend a day in my house. But yeah, I feel like this is the kind of game that I would want to see on PC one day, because I feel like there's a whole audience that would go nuts with this engine on PC and make some really fun shit with. Like, I don't dive into Dreams often. I feel like if I see, again, a tweet or a Reddit post, like, about some fun project. Like, I saw this really cool Avatar project that was looked phenomenal, by the way. So, you know, I load it up. I search for it with the ID, and I play it, and I put it aside. I'm not sure how the whole curation thing works on the Dreams end. Like, do they pick, like, do they showcase the best games? Do they showcase the best artwork or movie sequences? Like, how are they doing that in Dreams? Because this thing can do so many, so much cool shit. It has to be like front and center when you first load the game.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they do the I've never played it. I've never booted it up. I've never looked at it. I don't know. I just know like that. It's one of those things that like I will forever be fascinated with, but not enough to go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, because I feel like in a game like that, it just highlights my own creative shortcomings. Like, I'll make a square. I'll make a box or a triangle and be like, I did it. It's a circle and a smaller
welcome
circle.
Welcome to Circle Land.
Welcome to Circleville.
The place of circles.
Welcome to Circle Jerks, a game about Steven and Andy.
Oh, look, it's another circle. Which circle's bigger?
Which circle is the circle that's a circle?
The biggest.
The biggest circle of them all. But yeah, again, it's neat seeing them get support from Sony and more funding, bigger team. It's just, it really shows you like a game that doesn't be a blockbuster hit still has importance to Sony.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? This is something special this year. We want to cultivate this and make it better and see it do good.
Give us that PS5 version now.
Of course. And with them that, PS5 texture. That shit on PSVR 2 is going to be fucking lit.
Ooh, litty like
you know,
titty.
You know what else is going to be lit, Steve?
Tell me.
That's looking hella lit now. Now, it's not April Fool's just yet. But this is a sports game update from Andy. So bear with me. This is something like this is
what?
This is me talking about sports, guys.
Okay. I'm here. Bring it.
Dude, what can you explain to me why I really, really want this esports boxing club game?
Oh yeah. 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 Because it looks really, really realistic. That's why.
Yeah, and this is an indie game. Not some big like developer doing this shit. This is like, oh, we have no EA Fight Night. We're gonna make our own thing and make it look so sexy at the same time. And I want this. The movement, the animation. I need this in my life right now. And I can't explain why. Is it the short shorts? Is it the man chests? Yes. I need this in my life. I'm very impressed by this.
Yeah. If you watch the actual video, like, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes into it, they discuss why it looks so realistic. It's because it's all motion capture. It's basically done like a movie. Nothing is animation snipped together. It's all a fluid animation from an actual boxer. Like they would tell the boxer that's being there getting mocapped what's mm-hmm. happening. And they program the game to that scenario that they tell them that's happening. Mm-hmm. So it's like rigorous work. It's like super rigorous stuff. Cause it's almost like when you think of commentating in a sports game, the, mm-hmm. the script you get for that is like 8,000 pages because you have to know all these different scenarios and you just go down. It's like, you know, Andy hits it to left field. Andy hits it to center field. Andy hits it to left field. All right, now use his last name. Andy Asamakis hits it to right field. And like you do it over again. Okay, let's do each one of those five more times, different inflections. This time it's the bottom of the ninth, and they just won the game because of it. Andy hits one into right field. And it's just that over and over again. But that's how they did this movement. It's like, okay, you know, they just have this guy moving around and everything looks just fluid and beautiful. It just looks incredible. It really does, and I hope that it doesn't. So that it reminds me of the. There's one person in the world, I think, mm-hmm. maybe two, in our live chat on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. I know Buzz Killington's going to know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. There's a possibility that Virtual Tricks knows what I'm talking about. But back in the day, there was a TNA video game, a wrestling, total nonstop action wrestling video game. And they were hyping this video game up as the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ because it looked phenomenal.
TNA stands for non-stop
total nonstop action. That's right. They changed it to just Impact now, and that's just called Impact Wrestling.
That sounds dull as shit.
Really bad. Like it used to be TNA Impact, and then they changed it to just Impact
because TNA has like other implications. That's why it's like, oh, TNA really.
So they showed this game, and they're like. They motion captured all of the real wrestlers in TNA doing the moves, and the entire roster that was in the game got motion captured in the same way. The problem is they ran out of time. So the wrestlers all only had four moves. and of those four moves, hold on. Of those four moves,
Most of
the roster shared at least two of them. So there was no unique styles at all, but everything looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that doesn't happen with this game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've learned a lot since then. Hopefully this isn't like the early days of we got low memory. Give everyone the same two moves and maybe one special move that's unique among them.
I bought that game, Andy.
Yeah, I believe it.
I bought that game to play as Samoa Joe versus Kurt Angle.
I believe that you did. And you have no shame.
AJ Styles and Jeff Jarrett. I think Jeff Jarrett was in it at that time. I don't remember.
So things that aren't dope that are pissing me off a little bit in the news today.
What's not dope?
Is that the Mortal Kombat film was delayed by a week.
Son of a
and
bitch!
And I'm a little pissed about it because it looks so good. And I guess they want to give Godzilla some more breathing room. Like they don't want to have a too close mm-hmm. of a release because we're talking less than 3 weeks between both movies.
Right.
So it's like, you know what? Let's let people talk about Godzilla for a little while. Let's give it one more week. Let's push it back a week.
I have a theory.
Is it a game theory? What's your theory?
It is. I have a theory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That.
Yes.
Yes. What was announced? When was this announced? Was this announced yesterday?
Recently. I think it was either yesterday or today.
You know what else? You know what was announced today?
What was announced today, Stephen?
That all New Yorkers 30 and over can get the COVID vaccine.
Oh.
I think they are gearing up to have this thing in the theater.
Oh, well, like, it is going to be in the theater.
I know it is, but I think they're waiting so that they can have a bigger opening box office because it's the exact amount of time that it takes to get to thingies.
So it's like, all right.
So I just think they were like, listen, there's going to be more butts available to be in the seats.
Also, it's butts that are of age. This is a rated R movie.
Exactly.
So they want those big boy and big girl dollars. So
right.
Let's get all the young, the 30 overins in there.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the theaters are going to have a occupancy limit with if you have your vaccine cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like, it might be 100% vaccine only or 25% no vaccine. Like maybe they'll have, you know, separate theaters or I don't know how that's going to work.
Segregation to be like, yeah, segregation.
The unwashed plebs go over there.
The anti-vaxxers is for the vaxxers.
Excelsior. That's right.
God, that's like we're living in dark times.
Yeah, no, that does suck. And I'm just going to say it. According to people, because I still haven't seen it, the Monster Hunter movie was terrible.
I saw it.
Was it terrible?
I braved the storm.
Was it the worst? Was it as bad as people said it was?
Okay.
I need to know.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I think you should watch it. It's not bad.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why it's not bad.
Okay.
We know why. What's her face is there, Bila Jovovich. She's like
the married.
There's that. But like she takes on the role of us.
Of us. Correct.
The player being sucked into the Monster Hunter world.
Okay.
After the initial shock of her team and her getting stuck in this world, mm-hmm. and this is a slight spoiler, but it's telegraphed very, very, very prominently. Her team is there to die, to leave her alone, basically. Mm-hmm. To fend for herself. Mm-hmm. Once those assholes are all dead, mm-hmm. and they die in pretty gruesome ways.
Nice.
It's just her and the sole guy from that world. And they don't speak each other's language. So once that's gone, there's no dialogue. There's no bullshit. It's all just fun, like fish out of water jokes and hunting monsters. And it does it really well. Mm-hmm. And the designs are beautiful. And it has a cliffhanger. Mm. And you know what? It's a lot like you playing Rage 2, Steven. It's just dumb fun.
And that's all I wanted it to be, Andy. That's all. Because what is Monster Hunter?
Let's break down the two words.
Yeah. Let's break down the two words.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Monster Hunter. What is a monster, Andy? Yes. Fictional creature. Got it. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a movie about hunting fictional creatures. Oh, that doesn't seem very... Right. I mean, we hunt animals all the time. No. These animals are the size of dinosaurs. Mm. Oh, so you're the prey.
Mm.
Yes, but you're hunting the predators. I see what's happening here. And what are we doing? Are we feeding our families? Not only that, but you're going to make weapons and armor out of their bones and flesh. Wow. Wow.
And traps and poisonous venom, and then the palico is there and the cat people and it's all there.
Now, what we've been playing happened already, but did you play Monster Hunter Rise yet?
I haven't played it yet.
Okay. We'll talk about it next week then, because I'm thinking
it's
about
on,
it.
It's on the Switch, so if you do it, let me know.
Said that about World, and then we just didn't do it.
Yeah, but now there's no excuse. It's in our fucking hands. It's in your hand. It's in my hand. So it's like, are you holding the thing? Is it by the bed? Is it on your nightstand? Pick it up and we'll play it. That's all it is. That's all we got this, Steven. We really, truly got this.
I feel like you're threatening me.
No, let's bring back the old days. Those were fun days playing that game together. Let's bring it back.
Is there any more
news? I have a hype zone.
Oh, all right. All right. Take us into the hype zone because we got to get into the question of the week on Facebook. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm just going to read the headline and we'll go from there.
That's all I need. Most of the time.
Resident Evil Village promotion now features life-sized Lady Dimitrescu.
Hold on. I think I know
what people want with a 9'6"
You don't?
Towering vent.
You don't.
I don't think I want to know what happens in that house.
You've seen your dog and a pillow, right?
No, I've seen my dog and my arm,
yeah,
and my leg.
That's
and my back.
That's what you.
Who
want.
He thinks are perpetual, like, you know, meatloafs or pork chops, with orifices in them.
Uh huh. Yeah.
He wants to both eat and fuck at the same time.
Correct. Yeah.
Here's my question: how soon until an article, happens or pops up where someone has married their life-size Lady Dimitrescu doll?
30 minutes. Like there is somebody in Korea that is just waiting for that.
Let's give it away.
That's where all that crazy stuff happens too. Like they marry those robot dolls and stuff. It's always in Korea or some shit, right? Japan. I feel like that doesn't really happen here because we won't allow it. I mean, we have people that eat chalk, but like, and paint and drink like, but I don't think we have that here. But
listen, I don't want to kink shame.
No, you know listen, me. Don't yuck you anybody else's yum. You know what I mean?
You know me, I'm all about it. I'm just wondering what one does with a 9 foot, 6 inch.
Is it cardboard?
Vampire. Does it matter?
I mean, yeah, it kind of does. Cardboard is a little harder to.
Is it built to last? Is that what you're trying to ask me?
Does this have a purpose?
How much abuse can I give it? Is that what you're trying to say?
How much abuse can it give?
I don't know. I mean, you've seen her.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking step on me, Steven. Step on me. As the saying goes.
Butter's in the fridge. All right.
All right. Question of the week.
The question of the week from facebook.com/group/DS podcasts. Yes, Andrew.
I said, never again let me run the show this way.
I kind of like it. I like being surprised. All right.
Go ahead.
Question of the week, which you could be a part of by joining our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/DS podcasts. What kind of games are you terrible at that you wish you were great at? Not just good at, great at. Like you want to be top tier, master level at. So let's get into the comments here. Miss Envy says all of them.
We narrow it down.
Brett says, for me, it's sports simulation games. I wish I could ball out as my favorite teams, but I am terrible. That's fair. Curtis says, for me, it's multiplayer shooters. I was pretty good at Halo and COD back in the day, but I am only mediocre at best now. Sometimes mediocrity is the best with the skill-based matchmaking. It's when your friends get better than you that it ruins everything. Mikey Kirsch. Moving on.
This is correct. This is correct.
Matt Murray has my answer, which is fighting games.
Ooh, that's my answer too.
No, because you are at least partway decent at fighting.
No,
games.
No. Listen,
you're not horrible. You're not bad at fighting.
I'm not
games.
Bad. No. I'm not like, I'm like above average.
Yeah.
Like someone that plays it for a little more than I do will school me easily. But the reason why is because I feel like the fighting game community and Smash players, there's like a smugness about them that's like, not in other esport.
That's smudge. That's what's smudge. That's coming out of their pores. It's sludge.
And I just want to be like the guy that just like comes out of nowhere and just smokes everybody. Like, who the fuck are you? We don't know who you are. Good. I kicked your ass. Next.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want that moment.
I just love the way fighting games look in action when somebody's really good at them.
Yes, because combos are orgasmic.
Yes. That is why I loved Marvel vs. Capcom, because that game looks good no matter what you're doing. You could just button mash and all that.
Yeah.
Tornado Claw.
Yeah. And it's like, look how skilled I am.
Berserker Mirage. Tornado Claw.
Clearly only.
Web Slinging. Tornado Claw. Web Slinging.
Good shit. I miss those games, dude.
Jimmy Fitzpatrick says most fighting games. To be honest, there's no game in competition. There's no game in competition levels in. Okay, I don't know what that means. Even the ones I play the most, I could be better at. Okay. Jack says RTS games. I think I could hold my own in most others. So real time strategy games for those who don't know.
Yes.
Tahoe says strategy games, which. That kind of falls in the same category, kind of, a little bit. Thorne says racing games, man. What the fuck? And I agree with that as well. That is one thing that but that is one of those things that I wish I can like more. Because that's another thing that looks beautiful in motion, and you're like, man, I really wish I could want to do this.
Oh, that is a really good answer. I didn't even think of racing games, because I'm horrible at racing games. It's really fucking bad.
Yeah.
It's a sight to behold.
We have one of my favorite answers coming up soon. Lee says literally anything with a significant PvP element. And I only wish I were better than I am because there are so many otherwise good games that have this, like an Overwatch or whatever. And I agree with that as well. Caddy says League of Legends, Valorant, etc. Yes. Cause that's its own shitty genre of these weird MOBA like arena and that CSGO shooter thing. That's like different from like your shooters.
Right, right, right.
Tactical shooters, we'll call them. Mm-hmm.
It's a good name for it. I'll take it.
Friend of the show, Joe, says, Call of Duty, I would be rich. No, you wouldn't. There are plenty of great... Just Peoples, one of the better Call of Duty players I know. B.O., great Call of Duty player. Even Purgers, a fantastic automatic. Call of Duty player. Got news
for you. I'd be rich.
You don't make money. You don't make money unless you are the best and you are handsome.
Well...
And they want to, and you have money already so that you can enter tournaments. CT Dub says, desperate to get my first person shooter skills back. I wasn't semi pro or anything, but I could hold my own, make some clutch plays and be a positive for the team. Now I'm just a negative, not for the team, but for the entire game.
Oh, God. You know what I wish, Steven?
I wish. Remember that song?
That's a good song. I wish I could do mouse and keyboard good.
That is
100%. I'm not good at it.
Absolutely. If that was a genre, I would be like, yeah, that's me.
Like, I could maybe be better at Overwatch or some shit if I could, like, know where the shift key is. I don't know how to do that. Or, like, the WASD. I don't WASD well. Or, like, the QWERTY.
I can't WASD.
I can't do it. I know. I can't WASD for shit. Can't do that.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all?
That's
is
it.
All the comments?
That's it. Nice. Going into our chat, People says, I have a 2.6 kill death ratio in Call of Duty, and I've never made a dime, and I've played against players that play for a living, and I get dragged through the mud by them. That is true. But then again, People's, if you played with them every day, mm-hmm. and they were your friends, and they said, come over here, kid, you'd be just like them. And people also said that he used to play Forza games for 15 hours a day because he's a fucking loser. Just kidding. I love you. Miss Envy has a very good point. There are many things to do with this 9'6" vampire lady.
Can you cut a whole other show, though? It's a different show altogether.
It is a different show. That is Dual Screens After Dark.
Right.
Coming that is crisscross
ultra
play.
Patreon.
That is crisscross play. Triple X, triple cross, but like a 3X is play. Like,
we can podcast. Do that at some point, you know?
That's true.
It's going to happen. I think there's enough demand for it as it is.
It's true. Let's see what else we got here. Miss Emmy, thank you. I was going to do that, and I appreciate you putting that in there. So, what's his name? Buzz put a friggin' link for something. Oh, okay. So he's got a story he wants us to talk about. So let's do it.
The time is over, though. Is it stupid?
No.
Is it interesting?
Electronic Arts announces a new next-gen golf game, EA Sports PGA.
I have a one sports topic quota, Buzz, but I'll allow it. Steven, take it away.
Yeah, that's it because it has an ad. It has a ad blocker. So
just
that's
read the
title.
We'll move on. That's the story. You got it.
So there you go. EA Sports is getting back into the golf game.
So there you go.
EA Sports. It's in the game. If it's in the game, it's in the game. That's what that means. Did you know that?
You know what I also miss, Steven? From the old, like, you know, sizzle reel stinger shit in the beginning of games? 989 Studios. Remember that one?
Yeah. It sounded like somebody really, really fuzzy. Like, 989 Studios.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
I missed that one a lot. It was good times.
But I just... Because the commercial used to be EA Sports. If it's in the game, it's in the game. And then they just cut it down to EA Sports. It's in the game.
It's in the game.
And now it's like EA, maybe microtransactions?
EA, please give us more money, even though we're garbage.
Yeah.
There's a hair on my, there it is.
Eat it.
Got it.
Lick the microphone. Don't do it. Don't do it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. But before we go, we want to give a special shout out to a Hype Fam member of the podcast, a friend of the show, friend of ours, a lovely person, Miss Radstuff, a.k.a.
Oh, beautiful.
Miss Radolph.
Beautiful.
Has suffered a dumbass jerk face fire at her house. And basically, it's a unlivable situation for them. So they're living out of a hotel right now, and they are a friend, and we love Rads. Always supportive, very fun streamer, very kind. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there was a dryer fire.
Oh my god!
And the area where the dryer was bordered her child's room, or at least where most of her child's stuff was, and her child lost everything. Everybody is safe. Nobody's dead. Everybody's okay. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. it sucks. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be posting a GoFundMe link in the show description. So if you could help out Rads, that would be fantastic. That'd All be the rad. Pets are safe. Some of them are being boarded right now. Mm-hmm. The problem is, so insurance is going to take care of things. The problem is they don't have anything for now. They don't have funds to do what they need to do up front, basically. So we're going to try and help them out as best we can. So a true Hype Fam member, always here for a little bit during the show, is watching on Wi-Fi, on hotel Wi-Fi at an extended stay right now. And just a beautiful family and a beautiful person. And we want to make sure that we take care of Rad. So you're going to look at that in the description. It will be there for you to click, and it'll hopefully be active for a while. So you could do that both on the, when I finally remember to put the YouTube video up, and all that other fun stuff. Okay. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @Duel_Screens on Twitter, @Duel_Screens on Instagram. I am @BatchHow27. Andy's @PantsGuy. And Taylor, who's missing, is @It'sPerger. You could also follow Taylor on Twitch, twitch.tv/It'sPerger. Our Facebook group, once one more time, is facebook.com/group/DSPodcasts. And if you don't watch the show live on Twitch, go to twitch.tv/DuelScreensStreams. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids about our guests coming up this Friday?
Oh my God. Is this Holomento?
It is.
That game, you guys. It's like Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild with some like roguelike shit, and it's a class system, and it's
permadeath. It's a
sexy game. Sexy ass game, made by one guy and some other guys. Bought a bunch of assets and made a game because it's like, why the fuck not? Mm-hmm. Just do you. Mm-hmm. Great show. Really great show. Great conversation. And we'll put a link of the Kickstarter right now in the chat so folks can see what that's all about.
I mean, it looks fantastic. It's having a nice Kickstarter right now, and we are going to help hopefully get the word out on this game.
So that's a good chance to, we have to do that thing, Steven, for this game. Because my pledge is that make your own item shit for the game. So
Right. So find out what item we're going to be making for this game.
Right.
By we, I mean Andy. But find out what that is going to be on Friday's episode. Because we are working. It's going to be a thing of beauty. A thing of beauty. Okay? I'm serious, you guys. On Friday, the episode's live right now on Patreon, patreon.com/NDS podcast. The audio version is live right now in early access. It went up on Monday. So you could get these shows on Mondays if we're recording them early enough. And right now we have 3 more episodes in the can. So
we're so fucking good.
we're good.
How good
right
are
now.
We?
We're going to have episodes for you
guys. We're like professional fucking people. We're like, take this shit seriously. Who knew that was true. A thing we'd accomplish one
it
day?
It do be true. Buy clothing. We have shirts and stickers and all sorts of stuff.
Go to Duel Screens. Pointed at me like, Andy, go buy some shirts.
No, DuelScreens.com. DuelScreens.com/store. So don't be a lemon.
Oh, also, before we go,
look forward
to our PAX Online coverage in July later this year.
Yeah.
That's going to be all sorts of fun, I feel.
I might have to take vacation.
You know, I'm already locking in the days off because I want it to be like us at the show.
Yes.
I want that intensity.
I want to be sitting in this chair
for the whole fucking 3 days straight
until the end.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the vision.
I will shower, but
yeah,
you know, they won't be good showers. They'll just be
the rag.
Get the stench off.
The rag in the bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I'll just use the bidet exclusively.
Maybe. Yeah. Just do it from the bathroom. Laptop, bathroom.
Yeah. I could.
You really could.
I could.
Just drill the mic to the wall, you know, put it on the shower curtain.
Put it all up onto the DuelScreens.com, you guys. Go to DuelScreens.com.
Yeah.
We're going to have all sorts of new content up there very soon. Andy is eventually going to put up all the podcast episodes that we've done that haven't gone up there, guest host page, all that fun stuff. Thank you for supporting us. We appreciate you. We love you. That is going to do it for us. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. Remember, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like, the thumbs up, all that fun stuff, and subscribe to the channel. The push to 1,000 continues. Can we get there so we can monetize our videos so we can make 18 cents? Maybe.
Please.
And guys, we interviewed over 200 devs. So tell your friends and go learn about video games. We love you.
Right.
And as always, please be excellent to each other.